again, there are changes, aren't there? It's a brand new year. Folks, the message I want to bring to you today is one that is a very basic and simple message, but I think it's an important message. You know, as we look back at 2023, we see how good the Lord was to us. We're all here today. We see that He's been with us every step of the way. And so we need to look back and count our blessings and thank the Lord in prayer. As I start out as your new pastor this morning, I'm thankful for each and everyone that is here. I'm thankful for the presence that you have in my life and how I gained from having known you over these many years, having learned under Brother Pat. And Sister Kathy, I was remiss. I apologize. I didn't thank you earlier when I was thanking a few other people for the music service. Sister Kathy picked out the music. She had no way of knowing the hymn we just sang is one of my favorite songs. It strengthens me, and actually it applies to our message this morning. And thank you for working with us as we sang a new song, How Great is Our God. How Great is Our God speaks to me. I think it should speak to all of us. You know, how can we ever answer that question? How great is our God? And that's the subject that I want to point out, or I want to focus on this morning. How great is our God? You know, that's both a statement and a question, isn't it? It's a statement. Brother Jimmy in his prayer pointed out some of the attributes. How great is our God? We can never name them all. There are countless numbers of names that try to describe the Lord and His greatness. We can't do it. Some of them that come to mind. The Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is a great I Am. He is the Almighty. He is eternal. And His children, He should be everything. He should be our all in all. And there's one attribute that you need to put a peg in the ground and never forget. The Lord is holy, and He does not change. He was the same in 2023 and every year that came before then, and He will be the same God, the same holy God in 2024. And folks, He cares for us, His children. He is our God, and He is our Creator. And there's another attribute that regardless of what life throws at us in 2024 that we need to remember, God is love. God loves His children. He loves each and every one of us that are here. And we should never forget that. Because He does not change. He is a holy God. So I said just a moment ago, how great is our God is a statement. We could never describe, there aren't adequate enough words to describe how great the Lord is. That is a statement. In the song, there were attributes talking about the Lord that are uplifting to me. I would encourage you to read the lyrics in this song again. I find them uplifting. But folks, those are a statement. Things can shift and change a little bit when we take it from a statement to a personal question. And so I want to ask you all now, and Dr. Carey's never been here, and Sister Lauren, you've not been with us before, but I have a way of presenting things in the form of a question. So my question to everybody here today is, how great is your God? See, there's only one God and we all serve Him, but we all have our own personal relationships. So as you reflect over your life and you think about 2024, how great is your God? And I want to think about that this morning and address it from a very basic perspective. And I think we can do that starting at the very beginning, starting it with creation. So folks, I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to two passages. Mark them in your Bible so you can flip back and forth. John chapter 1, starting in verses 1 through 4. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, it should be on the screen here, and hopefully you've turned to it by now. Genesis chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you need to think about that for just a moment. It is God who created the heaven and the earth. And then in the New Testament, we find the biblical support, and it elaborates even more. In the beginning was the Word, which is Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, folks, we all know this. This is very basic. Everything was made by God. But for some people, and you may know some people in your family, perhaps even you've been this way before too, perhaps this poses a little bit of a dilemma. Because the world tells us everything different. The world doesn't tell us that God made the world. Not at all. It's very fundamental for the true believer. But there are some churches, there are some Christians that say, well, you know, we're not sure how all creation happened. Yes, we believe in God. Well, folks, I'm telling you, you have to start at the very beginning. So let me ask you, how great is your God? How great is your faith? The world tells us completely different. God made everything. God made the heavens and the earth, and in the beginning, nothing was made that was made. And Jesus was right there in the beginning. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing was made without Him. But again, for many people, this is a dilemma. They don't believe it. That puts us at odds with people. Sometimes that puts us in conflict with family members, with friends. As a Christian, how do we approach that in 2024? Sometimes avoidance, people, is what Christians adopt. You don't always have to go out and seek a conflict with somebody. But folks, we should never take a step back, never, when it comes to defending our faith. And our faith tells us, our core belief tells us, that God created the heavens and the earth. Now again, let me ask you, who will you believe? I told you this was very basic. But folks, if you struggle with this, or if you know other people that struggle with this, if you can't believe that God is great enough to have made everything, all creation, then how can you believe the other things that are in the Bible without doubts? That term, how great is our God? How trusting are you when it comes to God for your life, for everything? It all boils down to our core beliefs. Are you going to believe what the world throws at us? Or are you going to believe what the Bible tells us? You see, if we doubt, where do those doubts come from? Sometimes it comes from Satan's influence. Sometimes it comes from peer pressure and things that we hear from this life. But you know what? If you begin to doubt the very beginning, that in the beginning, God created everything, you're placing your doubts and turning them into limitations of God. So how great is your God? Is God limited by your ability to understand? Your perception of things? Is God limited by what the world tells us? You can answer for yourself. You see, it's easy to allow these to creep in, these doubts, these limitations. And I believe it all starts from the very beginning. It is God who created everything. It is God who made the heavens and the earth. The story goes that a young man came home from Harvard. Of course, Harvard's been in the news a lot lately. This young man graduated from Harvard. Obviously, he was from a well-to-do family. But he came home to his mother, and he told her something strange, because he wasn't this way when he left. But when he came back, he said, "Mom, I'm now atheist. I don't believe in God anymore." And the mother was obviously hurt and quiet for a moment, and she asked him this very basic question. "Well, son, who do you think made the world?" And he said, "Nobody made it. It just happened." That is the fundamental belief that you will find in society today. especially from a higher education system. It just happened. It's all random and chaos. Well, the young man was home and he was looking for jobs. And of course, being from a well-to-do family, he had connections. He came back from a job interview. And as he came home, he walked through the kitchen and he saw a sandwich on the counter. And he said, "Oh man, that looks good. I'm hungry. Mom, did you make the sandwich? Who made it?" And she answered and said, "Nobody made it. It just happened." So, obviously, the sandwich didn't make itself. How illogical to think that it could. But if you just take such a basic, elementary example, how can you then jump and leap and say, "Oh, the world just made itself"? Folks, when we go down that path, we're being deceived. You see, every day we fight spiritual warfare every single day in subtle ways that we don't always recognize. And one of those ways is the deception and the lies that assaults us, that puts these little doubts in our minds, that wants to deceive us. "Oh, God didn't create that." It goes further to where there is not even a God. Psalm addresses this. Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Folks, it's easy to be deceived and led astray. I believe we have to every day revert back to our core principles, to our elementary faith, simple things. It is God who created us. As we read in our opening scripture, it is God who created us. We did not make ourselves. So how great is your God? Is your faith strong enough to overcome what the world will tell us? I pray that it is. Because if you are not that strong, and you start believing these other things, well, then you are being deceived, and you have to go to the next step and answer the question. You see, there are substitutions that are made. Theories are invented and created to substitute God, to replace Him, and the wonderful things He's done. Think about it for just a moment. The theory of evolution started over 100 years ago, and it was called a theory. It was a man's thought, his perception of what he was observing in the Galapagos Islands. That theory was taken and now it's pervasive and taught everywhere. And it's taught as a fact and a law and not a theory. But it's a theory. It's what man thought. Now, I'm not going into the theory of evolution today or the steps of creation. That's for another day. But I want you to think about for just a minute, if you summarize what the world tries to tell us. Think about that sandwich that didn't make itself. What will the world have us to believe? That by chance, and everything in the theory is by chance, really, but by chance, under perfect conditions, many, many years ago, the chemical reactions occurred under prime conditions that spawned the nucleus for life to begin. And that by chance again, over many, many, many years ago, in this slimy tidal pool by the side of the ocean, that this life continued and morphed by chance into binary organisms that were replicating themselves. And over time, under prime conditions again, by chance, life kept going to a higher form, wiggled its way out of this tide pool into the ocean, and many years later, again under prime conditions, by chance, life crawled out of the ocean onto dry land. That's what the world would have you believe. All by chance. Well, folks, that's not the God who I worship. I don't think that's the God that you believe. But that's a decision that we have to make. How great is your God? You take that premise that I just presented. How cold that is. How illogical that is. How impersonal. How unloving. How can people be so deceived? How can any of that happen If a sandwich can't make itself, how could that happen? Well, we know it didn't happen. We know that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was a Word. That's Jesus Christ. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Absolutely nothing was made. In the very next sentence, verse 4, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What a difference. What a contrast to the other theory of how life began, of how we came to be people. How loving God formed us. How personal. How intimate. God breathed life into our nostrils, and we became a living soul. What a contrast that is to what the world tells us. Everyday folks, even with the simple things, we have to make decisions. We have to filter out the deceptive theories and things the world presents at us, because it dilutes us. It puts limitations on our core faith. We have to always go back to God's Word for strength, for direction. How great is our God? He's greater than these lies and deceptions. Now, folks, sadly, we know that as we go through the book of Genesis, that sadly, man sinned. And when he did, everything that is wrong and harmful and hurtful and evil entered into the world. And we fell from our pure state. That's in our articles of faith. That's what we believe. But folks, we can't forget one of the attributes of God that I shared with you just a moment ago. God is love. And God changes not. So God had a plan of salvation. And it started in Genesis with Jesus Christ. He had a plan for redemption to redeem His people. That's also found in our articles of faith. So let me ask you, if you don't believe that God created the world, how can you believe that God chose a people before the foundation of the world? Which one do you believe? Do you believe them both? We handed out, I hope that everybody got a copy, our Articles of Faith. It's the third one. If you read the third article of faith, we believe that God chose a people unto salvation, or eternal life, that this choice was eternal, particular, and unconditional. That's our third article of faith, folks. That's what we believe because it is supported by the Bible. Before the foundation of the world, you talk about loving. God knew you before you were even born. And He chose us before the foundation of the world. That's how great my God is. There are no limitations on God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 reads the following, and this is taken from our articles of faith. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Again, pausing right there, there are no limitations because God is omnipotent and omniscient. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. And He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And the Beloved, folks, is Jesus Christ. We are made acceptable only through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And God knew this. And He prepared a way for us because God loves His people. And He knew that we could not redeem ourselves. That's how great a God we serve. The world will tell you differently. But that's not, this is what the Bible tells us. He redeems us through Christ, and He knew us before the foundation of the world. God is our Redeemer. And we find this supported in the Old Testament as well. Turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. It should be on our presentation. Isaiah chapter 43. And here we read from the prophet Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, again, who created you. You did not make yourself. And we are not the happenstance and byproduct of a chemical reaction. It is God who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. If we stop right there, folks, if you ever wonder the purpose of creation, it was to create a habitable place for God's people who He created for His own pleasure. For His own pleasure and glory. He has made us and formed us. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. The people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Well, folks, this brings up another question. If you believe God with all your heart and with all your soul, God created you and He formed you for His praise. So that's a two-part question. Are you witnessing and praising God verbally with your mouth and sharing your faith and trust in Christ with other people? And are you living a life that does the same? Because He says, you are my witnesses. And a witness, folks, is not somebody that goes in a corner and closes a door. We're supposed to be the same witnesses outside the halls of this church as we are inside this church. We openly express our faith and our love for God when we're in here. Are we that bold when we're out there? Are we witnessing the way we should? Or do you allow these false limitations and deceptions from the world to hinder your witness? You shrink back. If somebody says, God, there is no God, how do you respond? We are God's witnesses, formed to praise Him. Are we praising God? Is your God, your perception of God, greater than the peer pressure that you might face? I pray that it is. Because, folks, people need to hear the gospel. We are made to be, we sing that song. We are God's people. And folks, people still need to hear the old story of Jesus Christ and His love. We need to be witnessing to our friends, to our families. We don't have to be overbearing about it, but we should never step back from presenting our faith of what we believe, the very core elemental principles of our faith. The world will tell us that this life is all there is. There is nothing else. So live for today and enjoy every hedonistic moment that you can, because there is no tomorrow. That's another deception of the world. Again, this is satanic in its origins. There is no God. That's what the young man that came home from Harvard said. But we believe differently. That's what the world will tell you. When if you look at everything that the world tells you, how impersonal, how unloving, how cold it is. Well, what the Bible tells us is warm and inviting and loving, because God created you and He cares for us and He loves you. Satan whispers to us that we have no hope. That if God loved us, you wouldn't have any troubles at all in your life. You wouldn't struggle. But that's not what the Bible tells us. Jesus said that, yes, we will have troubles. But He is with us always. And He will never leave us. Never leave us. And He said to be even more, He said to be of good cheer. Because He has overcome the world. And folks, through our faith and belief in Jesus Christ, we can overcome the world too. Yes, we will have heartache. We may have struggles. We don't know what 2024 holds for us. Brother Pat just shared what Brother Sonny Pippen is going through from the Rhema Church. Now he's in hospice. But the man has lived a good, full life. God has been with him every step of the way. And because Jesus Christ overcame the world, He tells us to not fear. Because He's preparing a home for us beyond this life. So yes, when man sinned and death and despair entered into the world, God prepared a way for us. That's how great our God is. He didn't leave us to our own devices. He didn't leave us where we fell, which is what the world will do. And that's what Satan would have you believe. No, He redeemed us through our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how great our God is. Because God is love and He does not change. He never changes. As we look forward into 2024, God will be there. And folks, He will be there when our day comes for the next life. He is always with us and He promised that He will never leave us. Do you doubt it or do you believe it? I will remind you folks, the Bible is very clear. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. Because yes, we will encounter things in this life that we don't understand. And we will find points in our life where we don't know what to do. And we have to put our faith and our trust in the Lord above. Because God knows what to do. You see, sometimes we need a different perspective. I want to share one more story with you. There was a man who was, like most of us, getting older. He spent all his life in the art world. He spent most of his time appraising artworks for museums and galleries, buying high-end artwork. And so he went to a local art exhibition to see what he could find. And he saw a group of students from the local art college. And they were degrading and despairing and making fun of this one picture that he could tell from a distance was a religious artwork. And they were jeering at it and saying, "What an amateur who painted this. It's all out of focus. It's not right." So when they began to leave and go away, the man who was an artist himself approached the piece of art. And he looked at it. And he had a trained eye because he had always appraised high-end artwork. He knew what to look for. He had a jeweler's loupe with him so he could examine it even closer. And he saw the master brush strokes in the painting, the various size brushes that he had used to create the artwork. And he saw that there was a thin varnish over the top of it that had even more brush marks in it. And it distorted the picture a little bit. And it realized, you see, the man was a believer himself. He realized that this artwork was not meant to be looked at looking down or looking straight on. No, it had to be viewed from above. And when you put the painting up high, it came into clear, sharp focus. And it was a hand of God reaching down from heaven to God's people. What the students couldn't see, because they were looking with the wrong perspective, this master appraiser saw when he looked up. And folks, that's the way life is for us. When we can't see the next step moving forward, sometimes we got to look up and put our faith in God above. And then things will come into clearer focus. Let me ask you again, how great is your God? I will remind you what I just said. There will most likely be some moment in 2024 where something's kind of difficult, and we're going to have to depend on our faith. How great is your God? You see, that gift of faith that we all have, and let me just put you on the spot. If you believe in God and you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jesus died for your sins, please raise your hand. Then we're all believers. We all believe in the name of Christ, and it is only through Christ that we have redemption and we have hope. So let me ask you, that faith that identifies you as a child of God, will it carry you through those hard times without doubting? You see, we don't have to understand, but we need to trust God. That gift of faith identifies you as His child. As a child of God, He knew you, folks, before the foundation of the world. And He loved you. He created you. The Bible tells us even the hairs on our head are numbered. So how can we doubt Him? The Lord does not change. And He loves you. And He will be with you through 2024. So regardless of what life throws at you, never doubt the love of God for His children. And you want to know the proof for that? We find it in the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe that with all my heart and with all my soul. We will never perish, folks. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for His children because He loves us. We have an eternal home in heaven. But folks, between now and then, only the Lord knows. Our days are numbered just like the hairs on our head. But there is a lot of living to be done. There's a lot of testifying, a lot of witnessing, a lot of wonderful times. So when we encounter these hurdles from the world, look up. Look up to God. Remember the faith that you have. You know, if you do that, there's two things that you can do. When we put our faith and trust in God wholeheartedly, we can read and agree with David when we say then that the Lord is my shepherd. Not somebody else's. He's your shepherd. Because it's your personal relationship. How great is your God? If God is your shepherd, He's your everything. And there's something else you can do. Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. But when you go home and you're praying personally to the Lord, it's you and the Lord. And you can say, "My Father, who art in heaven." That's how great my God is. He is my Father, my Creator, and I trust you have the same convictions to sustain you and to carry you through 2024. Because, folks, the truth is, regardless of what we believe, there's only one truth, and that's God's Word. And everything I've tried to share with you comes from God's Word. It is God who created you. He knows you, and He loved you before the foundation of the world. And that through faith in Jesus Christ, you are redeemed. You are His child. And do not let the circumstances of this world deceive you into believing anything else. If it does, and you're like that sad student that came home from Harvard thinking that the world made itself, we know better. It is God who created you. How great is our God? I pray in 2024... some of the lyrics from that word will go with you and give you courage as you face whatever 2024 may hold, because there's going to be both blessings, but there are going to be times, folks, and it may be a difficult time, as we read in Isaiah, you need to witness for the Lord. May He add His blessings to these words as my prayer. I want to wish everybody a happy 2024. Now let's please stand and sing, "How Great Thou Art."